All right. Thank you for that wonderful song. Sweeter as the day goes by. And it does, doesn't it? Amen. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about Jesus' temptation. And many of you have read in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, where Jesus, after being baptized, was led up into the out into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Well, Satan showed up at the opportune time, as he always does. And that's what his goal was, to tempt Jesus, and Jesus give in to his temptations. And Satan would say, hey, I have the victory instead of Jesus. But it didn't work that way. So this morning we are going to be looking at Jesus's, he does overcome Jesus's temptation. And you and I can do the same thing as Jesus did, as we prepare ourselves daily through the word and through prayer and through seeking God's will each day and resisting temptation. So we'll look at verses just 1 and 2 this morning. If you are in Matthew chapter 4, I'll just read the first two verses, and next Sunday we'll read verses 3 through 11. Part two, but part one this morning. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. Most of us become hungry after one day, don't we? How many of us could last 40 days and 40 nights without food? It'd be tough, wouldn't it? 1 or 2 weeks is about the limit for man today. But God was special, and Jesus Christ is special, and they are able to endure and persevere through temptations or anything that they're confronted with. How many of you have been tempted to the point that, you know, your spirit is willing, but your, what else?
Flesh
is what?
Weak.
Yeah. It reminds me of the man who went to the grocery store. His wife gave him a grocery list of all healthy foods for him to buy. And his little girl went with him. So as they were shopping, getting all the healthy food, the father and daughter was talking about other things, and they decided, well, let's get us a big bag of M&Ms. And so they did. So on the way home, they opened the bag, and they eat a third of those M&Ms. So when they got in the house, mother, of course, was going through her list, looking at everything, and she says, what is this? What? This was not on the list. Oh, well, dear, there's one third less calories than usual in this bag. And she looks at the bag and she said, now how you figure that? He said, well, your daughter and I, we ate a third of it on the way home, so that means there's one less third calories in this bag. Now, that's where the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we all experience that in our life from day to day. If I would say day to day, because Satan is always at work in our lives day by day. So when you look back in the Old Testament, all the way back into Genesis, we find that since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, temptation has been a constant, unrelenting part of the human life. When we're born, we grow up and we become knowledgeable of what right and wrong is. And then we choose to do wrong. Sometimes we might be deceived, or we might just make a choice and say, well, that looks so good, or that looked so enticing, just like Eve when she looked at the fruit tree and saw that the fruit was desirable by the eyes, she took of it. So temptation has been constantly in a part of our life, and mankind has tried to avoid, resist, and ignore it. But it's pretty hard to do, isn't it, when the temptations come so great? But no person has ever found a place or a circumstance that can make him or her safe from temptation. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today here in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, is the temptations of Jesus. And this is one of the most monumental, and I'd say mysterious, spiritual battles of all time that is recounted, the personal confrontation between Jesus and Satan. It is. And Satan's temptation directed as Jesus was in the wilderness, and that was near Judea, where it's observed by no human being. It was Jesus and Satan out there by himself. And no one had an account of this event except what Jesus had told the disciples that took place. And that is why it's so important for us to understand that Jesus revealed this to the disciples in order for them to write it down in the Gospels and throughout other references in the Bible that he was tempted by Satan, but yet he was able to overcome those temptations because he was totally committed to obedience in his life. And therefore, it's a representation for us as well, for us to resist temptation just as Jesus did. And you might be thinking, well, I'm human. We're human, so it's harder for us. Yes, it is hard. And Jesus, you know, he overcame. He was human and yet his divine side. So now when you're looking at your own self, if you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of God within you. So that's the wonderful thing about being a Christian, that we have the Holy Spirit within us that helps us to make those right decisions at the right time that we are tempted, just like Jesus. And if you're in the Word, and as you're studying the Word, and as you're memorizing the Word of God, the same thing can happen and occur with you when Satan tempts you. You can use the Scriptures against Satan. Now, we can't use them in the same way. You can't tempt, you know, the Lord your God, but you can't tempt us because we are a child of God. We can say that, you see, because Satan will always attack us in our weakest position in this life. When we're at the weakest, or when we're distressed, or whatever the weakness is, it could be physical, emotional, or spiritual, but yet that's when Satan is going to zero in on your weak spots. And we all have weak spots in our lives. Now, the encounter with Satan occurred immediately after Jesus' baptism. After the Heavenly Father said, "This is my beloved Son, who I am well pleased." And then this verse 1 says that the Spirit led him out into the wilderness where he would be tempted by the devil. So it was appointed for Jesus to go to the wilderness to prepare himself for the ministry that the Heavenly Father sent him here to fulfill. And he did that. And he did it with pure obedience. So, as I said in Matthew 17:5, "This is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased." So when God speaks to you, you think about this. When God speaks to you, Satan strikes at you. You know, when he speaks, okay, Satan's going to be right there to intervene, just like he did with Eve. when God said, "Thou shalt not eat of that fruit. The day that you do, you shall die." And Satan comes along and said, "Surely you won't die." See how he twists the word, or something that Jesus would say, or in the word, that it might twist it, and you may know the scriptures well and good because you study it and you memorize scripture. But Satan, at your weakness, at your weak time or your weak spots, he's going to twist it just enough to make you think, well, maybe I misread that, or maybe it's not exactly the way I read it. But when you ask the Holy Spirit to interpret that, to help you make the right decision at the right time, at the right moment that you're tempted, then the Holy Spirit is going to steer you in the right direction. So always remember, Satan is always going to move you in an opposite direction than the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit never draws attention to itself. As you read in the scripture, you'll understand the Holy Spirit is always pointing to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ went to the cross. He was crucified for our sins. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He's pointing you to Jesus, pointing to the righteousness and the holiness of Jesus, so that, as Romans chapter 6 tells us, as we walk in the newness of life. You know, we put the old self behind us, the old flesh. Of course, we can't get rid of the old flesh, but we put that sinful nature that we once had, that was so easy just to give into, to a new nature that is directed by the Holy Spirit, and we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. We are sealed. That means Satan can't do anything to take away our relationship with Jesus Christ, because it is there eternally while we're here on earth and while we are in heaven. So that's something that we can always hold on to. You can always take your testimony, your witness back to the Lord Jesus, to Satan, and say, you know, I was saved on a certain day, a certain place. I was sealed by the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing in the world that you can do to take that away from me. And just say, get lost, Satan. Get lost. And he has to obey. That's one thing he has to obey when we speak about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the purpose right here, Matthew recounting this event, is to demonstrate the pattern of Jesus' victory over temptation and sin. It was a victory over temptation, first of all, and sin. A pattern that Jesus longs to share with all who belong to him. And that's when he shared it with his disciples. He wanted them to know, because he knew that they being followers of him, now he was going to be teaching them and training them what their task here on this earth was going to be. And then they would be passing that on. They would be writing about this particular situation. And it was meant, it was appointed for this to be here in the Gospels, so that you and I would know that we can overcome temptation. We can have that same victory as Jesus did when we resist temptation. So when we face testing and temptation, we too can be victorious over the adversary. Attempts to corrupt us and take over the Lord's rightful place in our lives. See, Jesus has the rightful place in our lives. Satan does not have the rightful place in our lives, because we belong to Jesus Christ. That's what the difference is in our life. Those who are lost don't know this yet. And Satan don't have to work on them as hard, because he already has them in his hands. But the Christian, you know, he's going to work on us as well. He can't rob us of our salvation or take that away from us, but he can rob us of our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And sin can do that in our life. But when we repent, our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord is restored. We always have that relationship. We always belong with Jesus Christ in our lives. So the momentous encounter that Matthew here describes, from which believers can gain such help and we can gain encouragement, may be divided in three parts. And this morning, as I said, we're just going to be looking at the preparation. See, Jesus made preparation for his ministry. That's why he went into the wilderness for those 40 days and 40 nights. And Jesus spent all of his time seeking the Heavenly Father, because Jesus had an important role, fulfillment to complete. And he wanted to prepare himself in prayer. He wanted to prepare himself in his relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus, with the Heavenly Father. Because in Scripture, and I've mentioned this before, how Jesus says, I don't do anything on my own initiative. I don't do anything on my own except what the Heavenly Father tells me. Now, if we would take that to heart and say that ourselves, well, I don't want to do, when I get up in the morning and I go about my task for the day, I don't want to do anything except what the Heavenly Father tells me to do. Now, I might be tempted to do this, but if my Heavenly Father tells me to do this, then that's the direction I'm going to be going in. So, next week I'll be talking about the temptations, and intense on these temptations. That's why I wanted to kind of break it up in one part this morning, and next week, temptations, and then the triumph over the temptation will be next week. So first of all, let's look at that preparation in verses 1 and 2. And as we look at these two verses, the goal and the aim of all believers, I believe this and I believe with all my heart, the aim and goal of all believers is to do what? It was for Jesus to please God, to please the Heavenly Father. You've often heard me say, you know, when I was young, my mother said, you know, when I leave the house, she said, now you be good and you be safe. And I came to the point, at the time I heard that, when I went out, I didn't want to do anything to disappoint her. I wanted to be a loyal to my parents and what they told me to do. So that's what Jesus did, and that's what he wants us to do. Our aim and our goal is to always please God with our life, and that's what it means to walk in that newness of life, because the old things have passed, but new things have come to believers, and that's what we are to pursue in our lives. See, we would love to hear that our life is pleasing to God, just like Jesus. This is my beloved Son. And God was saying that with all the proudness that could be ventured up. This is my Son whom I am well pleased, because he's always obedient. And see, even to baptism, Jesus didn't have to be baptized, but he did it in obedience to set the example for you and me when we accept him as our personal Savior, that it's a symbol of the washing away of our sins. It's the purifying, the cleansing, the symbol of that, of what Jesus' blood did for you and me. So, when we think about Satan, he wants to test, he wants to try us, he wants to devour all of those who are pleasing God in any way, at any level. He'll go to any level to tempt us and deceive us. And Jesus had the testimony of Enoch. Enoch said that he pleased God. That's what the Old Testament scripture says, that Enoch's life pleased God. Abraham pleased God because he walked with God and he considered his faith righteousness or in the sight of man. So, but his commitment is about to be tested, though, here in verse 1. And that's why I want to point out verse 1 and verse 2 this morning on the preparation that Jesus did in order to prepare himself for a great ministry that was ahead of him. See, anything that we do for the Lord each day, we need to prepare ourselves. We just don't need to go in thinking, okay, I've got this. I'm a Christian, so I've got this. No worries, no problem. No, we have to prepare ourselves for anything because we know Satan's going to be right there ready to trip us up and try to tempt us and get us to make the wrong decisions. But that's the preparation that we need to make each day, just like Jesus, because we're going to be confronted with a lot of decisions each day. And we want to make sure that we make the right decision. You know, we may have friends, we may have peers, we may have someone else that has a different take on life than we do. And they say, hey, have you ever tried this? What about doing it this way or so forth? And you being a Christian, you said, well, no, that's not the way I've been taught from the Word of God. This is what the Word says about this particular event or issue that you're talking about. So for me, it's not right. It's wrong for me to go down that road. So that's the preparation that we make, and it's very important that we stick to it exactly. So in verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led up to this by the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit, just like the Spirit led Philip to witness to the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Scripture, the Old Testament, didn't fully understand what he was reading, and Philip went over and said, can I help you with that? And he said, sure, and he did. And it convicted him of his own sin, and then after Philip witnessed to him, he got saved. He said, here's some water. What prevents me to be baptized? And that's before Jesus was baptized, you know, in the Jordan River. So when we look at what Jesus did, it is astounding that Jesus himself told the disciples what they needed to do in life. So one of the truths of life from which even the Son of God was not exempt on earth is that after the victory came the temptation. The victory Jesus had, being baptized and then Heavenly Father saying, this is my beloved Son, and then being led by the Spirit. That's a victory right there. But then he was led out to be tempted. But you know what? It's a lot better to be prepared and stored up spiritually than not be and then be tempted, because you're much stronger in your faith. Your faith is not weak. And therefore, we as Christians even more so need that preparation in our lives. So at times of success, we can let down our guard, and temptation can take us unprepared. So that's why we always need to be prepared in our life. After the victory of Jesus' baptism comes his testing in the wilderness. So that's where Jesus was tempted. So Satan's purpose is to frustrate the plan of God and take over the place of God. That's his ultimate golden life, is to rob us of that joy. And what Satan intended to lead the Son into sin and disobedience, the Father, the Heavenly Father, used to demonstrate Jesus's holiness and his worthiness. That's what the Heavenly Father did. And that's God's plan for you and me. That's God's plan. The same plan that he had for Jesus, that's the same plan that he uses and wants us to follow as well. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, James tells us all about this, about temptation and how we should respond. So listen to James. It says, let me turn over to James here. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy. Okay? You got your joy? You got your joy on? It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And those trials can be temptation. So consider it a joy. Now, James is not saying that, okay, you're on your own. consider it a joy when you're tempted. He's saying that being a child of God, count it all joy because you can resist. You can be obedient. You can win the victory through your trials because you're being, tested by Satan. He's going to tempt you in all ways. And then in verse 3 it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Yeah, that means you're going to persevere. You're going to keep on trusting in the Lord. And then verse 4, and let endurance have its perfect result. The end result is you persevered. You didn't give in. So that you will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That pretty well tells it all, according to James. And Paul says the same thing in some of his as well. So, you know, God allows testing in our lives in order that our spiritual... Now, how many of you exercise? You lift weights or you get on a bike or you do maybe... some types of calisthenics and so forth like that, but you use some kind of mechanism to strengthen your what? Muscles, right? You want, and it gives you energy. It gives you fitness, and it helps you to not be short of breath when you're running and walking and things like that. So it's good for your physical being. So God allows testing in our lives in order that our spiritual muscles may be exercised and strengthened. Okay? Shouldn't that work with us, on ourselves? How that, whether it be testing by God's initiative or temptation sent by Satan, God will always use it to produce good in us when we meet and are tested. He gives us that power. You see, that spiritual muscle power from the Word of God to overcome. Now, in verse 2, we read, and this is an understatement of Jesus' physical condition in which he underwent his time of testing. It says, and after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. 40 days and 40 nights. Now, you and I would have been hungry after one day. So you see what the scripture is talking about. After 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. You see the energy that takes in a person's life to endure in this physical life. It took Jesus himself to endure and to rely upon the Heavenly Father to get him through that 40 days of temptation. So at the conclusion of this time of full consecration upon God, Jesus became hungry. He fully was consecrated to the obedience of the Heavenly Father, but yet the scripture says physically he became hungry. But spiritually, he was fed by the Heavenly Father those 40 days, 40 nights. And that's what kept him from submitting or being tempted to the point of giving in. Now, it might be that he was so caught up in his communion in the Spirit with the Father that he did not notice his hunger. Hunger not only makes us physically weak, but also tends to weaken our moral, spiritual resistance as well. When we're hungry, we want to do something about it. We want to meet that need, right? Jesus chose to rely upon the Heavenly Father. Jesus often said, you know, I don't always just rely upon food, but I read or what the Word of God provides in my life. So think about this morning. Just think about it. When we are tired, we're hungry, or sick, we usually less concerned about our needs and dangers and tend to be vulnerable to anything that might provide relief in our life. Think about that. From our present distress, when we are weak or hungry, our distress or weakness, that sometimes enters our mind and we want to relieve ourselves of that misery. Well, temptation that has been anticipated, guarded against, and prayed about have less power to harm us. It did for Jesus. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness? Mount of Olives, when he went up to pray, and he told the disciples, stay here, watch, and pray so you will not what? Enter into temptation. That's what Jesus said in Mark 14:38. Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. So when we're doing that, we're less prone to enter into temptation as when we're praying, we're seeking to help the Father, because our mind and our soul is focused on something that's more important than the physical state of our mind and body at that time when we're focusing on praying and seeking God's will. He's going to take care of all of our needs. He is. That's his promise. He'll take care of our physical needs, whether it be spiritual or emotional or spiritual. Now, in conclusion this morning, so at the end of the 40 days, as we look, and of course we'll look more into the temptations and triumph next week, but when Jesus would have been as hungry and tired as a person could be, Satan went after him. That's when he said, okay, Jesus is his weak point. This is where I've got him. And that's when he looked at us and said, I've got you now. You'll give in. That's how the Satan is with us. That's why Satan is always looking for our weak spots. And you know what? No surprise now. He knows what they are. He knows what your weak spots are. And that's why you need to commit those even more to the Heavenly Father as Jesus did. Jesus didn't have any weak spots. But we do. And that's why we even more so need to commit our weak spots to Jesus Christ. See, Jesus wasn't tempted inside the temple or at his baptism, but in the desert where he was tired, where he was alone, where he was hungry. That's where Jesus was tempted. Not in the temple. Not in the place of worship. Not in the holiness and presence of God. That's not where he was tempted. Satan chose the weak spots. So, So, under our physical, emotional stress, for example, when we're lonely, tired, weighing big decisions, or faced with uncertainty, that's when Satan's going to strike. Because he said, okay, I see some weak spots. Matter of time, I'm going to accumulate all of these things, and I'm going to just pound it on you. And how are you going to endure all of these things when they multiply like this? And you can say, well, get behind me, Satan, because I'm trusting in the Lord. He's got my back. I belong to him. But Satan also likes to tempt us through our strengths, whether we most susceptible to, and everybody has this to some extent, pride. Pride. I've got this. You know, I'm big and strong, got wide shoulders and all of this. I've got this. Well, that's pride. And we guard against his attacks when we finally, when we start the day with prayer and we build our attitudes around biblical truths or the Bible truths, and we depend upon the Holy Spirit to keep us from spiritual harm. That's how we do it. Very simple. Relying upon the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, I've told you before, is like a radar in our lives. It's just like some people have radar or detectors on their dashes, and it detects when a policeman or someone is out there. And you, what do? You speed up? No, you slow down, don't you? Well, when the Holy Spirit, the radar, I call Holy Spirit the radar, because it sends warnings to us. So we take heed, we listen to the Holy Spirit, and we guard against those temptations, knowing where they're coming from and knowing what we can do about them when we trust the Lord. We pray, we read, we study, we rely upon the Holy Spirit to keep us spiritually safe. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your message today, from your word. It's from your word where we get the understanding of how we are to resist temptations in this life, and they're always directed by Satan. And Lord, we know that we belong to you, and we have the victory already. But Lord, there's trials and hardships and testings and sufferings a long way in this life as long as we're here. But we can overcome all of these things, these obstacles, these testings in our life by trusting you. You give us that assurance when you told the disciples and you tell us, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, or to the end of the world, or this earth. Lord, I pray, if anyone's here today doesn't know you personally, anyone that's listening don't know you personally, they can know you by trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Lord, this morning, softly and tenderly you are calling. That's what we'll be singing in a few minutes. If we will only take heed to that, softly and tenderly. You don't force yourself upon us, but you tenderly speak to our heart, the most central thing of our life, where we make important decisions. And accepting Christ is the most important decision that we can ever make in this life, because it's an eternal decision. So speak to each one of us in the ways, Lord, that we need to respond. might be to renew our life afresh and anew. It might be that we need to get more involved in the work and ministry of the church that you established. In our hearts, we know what we should do. We just need to respond to your invitation. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let us stand as we sing. We're singing